Hey, this is Curious City digital producer Maggie Civet, and we got a question about the history of Chicago magic. Now, I know someone who really likes magic. Her name is Ari Mejia. She's the audio and community storytelling producer over at Vocalo, our sister station. So I reached out to her a little while ago to see if she could help me answer this question.
Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Ari.
It's true. I love magic.
So before you and I started working on this story together, I really hadn't seen a lot of magic. But I had been to the Chicago Magic Lounge.
I'd actually wandered into the Magic Lounge for the first time some months ago. I was out with a friend. It was like 11 p.m. and we were figuring out next moves, you know, was that kind of thing. And he was like, do you want to go see some magic? And I said, what? Magic? Like at a bar? Yes, please. Wow. Yeah. So he took me to this spot on the north side that from the outside looked like a laundromat. And you enter through a dryer. I'm not even kidding. Once you get inside, you walk into a beautiful, old-timey kind of bar. There's dark walls, velvet curtains, and someone is doing card tricks right there at the bar. Beyond the bar is another secret entrance in the library, and that opens up into a theater.
By applause, how many of you are here for the first time! Let me hear you!
I know this sounds like a movie, but it's a real place. So Maggie, I had to take you here for this story, to what's called the Signature Show.
Welcome each and every one of you. We are here celebrating the grand history of Chicago magic. Chicago has long been the capital of magic.
On this episode, we're going to do a deep dive into the history of Chicago-style magic. If you don't know what Chicago-style magic is, it's quick, it's funny, it's down-to-earth. It's done close up, usually at a bar or a restaurant table. We'll tell you all about it, and the people who made this particular style of magic synonymous with Chicago. And we'll also get to know some magicians carrying on that legacy, and forging a legacy of their own.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
Now, one thing you need to know is that at the beginning of the 20th century, magicians were a big deal. They performed at all the biggest Chicago theaters.
The scene was just huge. I mean, magic was the thing. They were like rock stars at the time.
That's Joey Cranford, the founder of the Chicago Magic Lounge. He told us there was a Chicago magician named Harry Blackstone. Blackstone was this thin guy with a mustache, and he would appear in newspaper ads with like a bow tie and this furrowed brow.
It's like classic magician. Capes, top hats, elephants.
Exactly. So in the early 1900s, this young man named Matt Shulian was working at a restaurant that his dad owned.
And there was one night at the restaurant that would later become Chicago magic lore.
Now, there are different versions of how this encounter actually went down. But according to newspaper articles, Matt Shulian liked card tricks, and he loved showing them off to restaurant patrons. One night, an out-of-town guest came in and introduced himself as a furniture salesman. Matt was showing off his sleight-of-hand magic, but it turned out the out-of-town guest was actually Harry Blackstone.
He was like a kid, and he was all excited to meet this famous performer. You know, he'd always heard about him.
That's longtime Chicago magician Al James. He knows a lot about the history of magic in the city. He says that night, Blackstone started showing Matt Shulian a few tricks. And Blackstone, keep in mind, was known for these big stage illusions. Things like making a birdcage vanish into thin air. But obviously he didn't have those kinds of props with him. So he used what he had, which was probably a deck of cards.
And so Blackstone took a liking to him and he taught him how to do a couple little tricks.
Here I have five playing cards. I would like you to think of two of them.
At that time, those kinds of close-up tricks were usually done before a big event, to entice people to come to the stage show.
But to Matt Shulian, these card tricks were really cool in and of themselves. And now he has a big-time magician teaching him tricks he's never seen before. They were fast.
I cover them with my handkerchief.
They were fun.
There is one you did not think of.
And they were happening
right
in front of his face.
It's magic.
And that started a thing with him where he was really became interested in magic. And he started studying and reading books and whatever you have to do to learn. And got to be pretty good at it.
Matt Shulian started doing magic in earnest at Shulian's, the restaurant his family owned. And he made magic accessible in a way it hadn't really been before. He brought it to the people. You didn't have to go to the big theater. You could just go out for dinner, grab a drink at this German restaurant with a mahogany bar, and happen upon this totally mind-blowing experience.
By the mid-20th century, Shulian's was one of the places to go to see close-up magic. And it helped solidify the elements that would later come to be seen as Chicago-style magic.
Which were up-close, sleight-of-hand magic, featuring rapid-fire tricks that often incorporated jokes and humor, and happening in a restaurant or bar setting.
Joey Cranford of the Magic Lounge told us Matt Shulian changed people's idea of what a magician could look like. He was this big, jovial guy. In all the pictures of him, he always has this huge smile, with his sleeves rolled up, chomping a cigar. You can practically hear him laughing through the photos. He was just really different from a magician like Blackstone.
And we have to mention Matt's most famous trick. He would ask someone to choose a card from the deck.
Yeah, that he would take a thumbtack and kind of wedge that in between a couple of the cards so it would stay with the cards. And he would throw the cards at the wall and all the cards would splatter all over the place except for one card. It would stay thumbtacked to the wall and it was that card the person had selected. It's kind of like a one-liner comedian, where you can do 10 jokes in the amount of time it takes most comedians to do one.
And again, this style of magic had always existed. But like Al told us, Matt Shulian made it the main event.
Yeah, and this caught on. More restaurants and bars started doing Chicago-style magic. Even after Matt Shulian died in the late 1960s, this legacy of close-up magic that he helped popularize really outlived him. Jan Rose of the Chicago Magic Lounge tells that story when she opens the signature show every week.
Now, that style of magic, it originated right here in Chicago.
Every night when I tell that story, I'm telling a story as though I am sitting with everyone that I love sharing my soul.
And the legend has it that the owner's young son, Matt, he learned a couple of card tricks.
Jan's been in the game since the 1980s. She performed at Little Bit of Magic, a Southside venue that, like Shulian's, came to be known for Chicago-style magic.
With red and white tablecloth, you know, the checkered tablecloth covers. The food was in the red plastic baskets. With paper napkins. It was casual, very casual, and very warm and comfortable. And the best cheese fries. And I was so excited to get those cheese fries after I did my show, because they were promised to me.
The way Jan got into magic was by studying magicians around town. She got taken under the wing of some big-time Chicago magicians. People like Heba Haba Al.
He took a sugar cube, and he put my initial on it, and he put it in a drink, and he was doing a card trick and holding my hands, and all of a sudden, everything was gone. The card was gone. The sugar cube was gone. And he said, open your hand, and my initial was on the palm of my hand. It was funny and amazing and just, it would knock you off your feet.
Jan made this metaphor about what it's like experiencing magic, and I'm still screaming over it. I loved it so much.
It's like baking this cake, right? And you're watching someone as they just begin to cut in and bring that fork to their mouth. And you're waiting to see that they're going to go, oh, mm. This is so good. Right?
But slowly, these places started to close. Little Bit of Magic closed in 1979. The New York Lounge, another famous venue in Chicago, closed around the same time.
And we really wanted to know, if magic was so popular in Chicago, why did these places close?
Yeah, I asked Joey from the Magic Lounge about that.
I have put so much thought into this question because I own a venue. But if you look around at the time of these magic bars, cable television was happening and stand-up comedy was happening and, you know, taste levels might be changing. But to say that people were not interested in magic anymore, I think, is wrong. I think there was a case of just a perfect storm of other things to do, other places to go, new trends popping up here and there, and then the sad mortality of the bars themselves.
Chulian's closed in 1999. Matt Chulian's son Charles had died, and the building was sold to new owners. Al told me it felt like the end of an era.
But these places and people, Matt Chulian especially, really cemented a certain type of magic. Close-up magic, using quick tricks, often with a lot of humor, as what we now know as Chicago-style magic.
Coming up, we'll get into magic rivalries, other styles of magic happening in Chicago, and how Chicago-style magic lives on.
Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
So close-up magic is definitely the Chicago style. But as we met magicians and talked to a lot of people in the magic scene for this story, we were recommended more than once to talk to a very specific Chicago magician.
My name is Walter King Jr. They call me the Spellbinder. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. Magic for me is theater.
Spellbinder is an illusionist.
Magic is the highest form of theater. And that's what I believe, especially the art of illusion.
So unlike people like Matt Chulian, who did things like close-up card and coin tricks, Spellbinder does these grand stage illusions.
Yeah, and from the jump, he was doing things like making things appear in the air out of nowhere.
I really didn't fit into that genre that you see going from table to table. Now, I do close-up, but it just wasn't my forte. The one I'm most known for is The Levitation of the Girl.
Maggie, I have to paint you a picture of what it was like to experience Spellbinder.
Yeah, please do, because that was actually the one performance I didn't get to join you for.
Okay, so he comes on stage and he's wearing a shiny satin shirt and a fedora with a feather in it. And his whole outfit is color coordinated. You immediately can't take your eyes off of him.
Ooh.
And he is dancing as he is doing these incredible tricks, mind-bending illusions that were making me scream.
Wow.
He had a cane he was spinning in the air that he turned into a scarf, and that scarf was levitating and dancing with him.
Wait, what?
And then he turned that scarf into a dove, and then that dove into two doves.
Stop.
He said he also made a leopard disappear. That he doesn't do these days, but back in the day.
That was my biggest illusion. There were a few cats in the city that you could use. They were actually owned by animal trainers. And I didn't like lions. I didn't like tigers. Tigers especially more than lions. Very temperamental. So I worked with leopards. Real cool.
And Spellbinder, his roots are clearly part of the history of magic in Chicago. Spellbinder started performing at Southside Chicago venues in the 1980s.
You had what was called the Copper Box, and then, oh my good, Coconuts, and all these different clubs.
Wait, all right, so Spellbinder was out here performing not at bars, but in clubs?
Yes.
See, so there really wasn't magicians or illusionists in the clubs before that.
He started building a career doing magic in dance clubs. People would be, like, dancing all around him.
At that particular time, I was known to do a full 45-minute act without talking. without speaking a word. See, because you're at the club now, and people want to dance, and so it was all music, just one track after another. And I would just create these routines off of the track, off of the beats, and I would mix these beats together.
He had to come up with tricks that people could enjoy without needing to hear him talk, without being close to him, and while there was a lot of distractions.
Gotcha. Well, even though this might not technically be Chicago-style magic, it does feel like a very Chicago sensibility. For the people, by the people, in regular places people frequent, like clubs.
And get this, he told a story of his rivalry with a fellow magician.
His name was Top Hat, and he called himself Top Hat. He never told anybody what his real name was.
The rift between Spellbinder and Top Hat really came to a head when Spellbinder was featured on the front page of the Chicago Defender on a Friday, which at that time meant his front page status lasted a whole weekend.
And he was ticked. So it became the rivalry. And if I ever appeared at Top Hat's club, it was one of them things. You don't get the dressing room that Top Hat gets. You get the mop bucket room. It was really kind of like that.
Eventually, Top Hat came to respect Spellbinder and what he was doing, and their rivalry dissipated, and they became, get this, best friends.
Aw, I love that.
Now, thanks to spots like the Magic Lounge, the magic scene isn't just back and thriving, but it's really coming together to form a real cohesive community today.
So Chicago-style magic, I'm glad to be able to be a part of that family, see. So they call me the House Illusionist. So even though I'm different than them, we're all in the same group. So it's like if you see the green room, it's like a big family living together. We got Jan coming in and everybody's talking, and then the new magician's coming in from out of town, and it's like, wow, you know.
Okay, so Maggie, where are we right now?
We are at the Logan Arcade. It's a Tuesday night. It's pretty busy, though. There are a lot of people in here. It's pretty loud. I've never been here before.
You've never been here before?
I've never been here before.
Well, I have been here before. I've been here because I like video games. Okay, I'll be honest. The same friend who showed me the Magic Lounge, in similar fashion, asked me if I wanted to catch some magic down the street from his house, so he took me here. And Maggie, I had to show you Justin Purcell. His magic not only is Chicago-style magic to a T, but it is so good. It is scary. It felt like it just defied all laws of physics. And even though I was just a few inches from him while he was doing these tricks, I couldn't for the life of me figure out how he was doing them.
Yeah, and it really feels like he's part of this younger generation of magicians who are keeping the spirit of Chicago-style magic alive, bringing it to the people, almost like a Matt Shulian of today.
My name is Justin Purcell, and I am a magician.
Justin sets up in the corner at the Logan Arcade, a bar in Logan Square, standing at a table with a Venmo QR code collecting tips.
Watch the ball. If it goes in through the top, you can see it's there, right? But if I blow, now it duplicates. There's two. Now look. One here and two here. If I blow, there's three. And three is coincidentally the perfect number for the fabulous three-ball trick. Now those are solid, right? They exist. Touch them. Make sure they're real. I don't see a thing.
After catching Justin randomly at Logan Arcade over a year ago, I really wanted to talk to him for this story. As I had no idea that bar magic was a thing, here's someone that's been doing it for a long time.
I feel like magic chose me. Like I was just sort of forced into it almost in a way. I figured I would be able to continue my studies in card magic by performing in bars here in Chicago, and that was part of my impetus to move here.
At first, he was having a hard time finding spots to do magic.
They didn't really seem to have the bar kind of scene that I was expecting, like the bartenders doing magic and everything. So it definitely took me a while to get like doing stuff, and that's sort of what the Chicago Magic Lounge kind of helped do. It's bring our community together a little bit.
According to folks from the Magic Lounge, Justin was a big part of nurturing that.
It does make you feel connected to history because you read a trick in a book from, you know, the 1890s, then you go and you try it on people now, and they're as amazed now as they were, you know, 130 years ago or whatever. So that's, it does make you feel connected to history in that way too.
Justin does tricks that were created by people like Ed Marlowe, this really famous Chicago card magician from the early 20th century. And he helps keep that history alive.
I really loved his explanation of what he thinks draws people to magic all these years later.
I think it also gels with our understanding of the world as often not being what it seems. And it just reminds us that our senses and what they're telling us are not necessarily telling us the truth or what reality is. And you have to think critically if you're going to actually have a real picture of what's going on.
Does that trick have a name? It's just
the one I just did? Cards across. It's an old, old trick, yeah. Making cards jump from one place to the other. Cards across.
Some people we talked to at the Logan Arcade had no idea they were about to experience magic. Others who had seen him before came just to see Justin perform.
Did you guys know that you were going to see magic when you came here tonight?
Yes. we came here with the intention of
being delighted.
Yes. Our goal was magic. I just like to be wowed. I like a lot of escapist things, and I feel like magic fulfills that.
I don't believe in being serious, and magic is light and casual enchantment.
I know I'll definitely be going back to the Logan Arcade to see Justin.
Same. The way it takes you out of the everyday gives you such a sense of wonder and excitement. I feel really lucky to live in a city that not only has this particular special history connected to a style of magic that at its core is for anybody and everybody, and where magicians today are not just tapped into that history, but they honor it by keeping it alive.
I tap the cup like this. Look. Now how many's in the middle?
I'm hoping for three.
Three? No, there's one.
No!
There's another one that size. Look. Ah! I don't know if you noticed over here, there's another one that size too, see? Oh wait, you gotta tap it with a stick. That's what makes it look good. Look! There's more than can even fit. When you tap like this, look. They appear, there's more than can even fit in that cup. And that's how you know that the magic is real. Thank you.
Hey, Curious City listeners. The long-form podcast you've enjoyed each week will be changing. But stay with us. Curious City will still be here in a shorter format starting in June. In the meantime, we want to hear from you. What are your favorite memories or moments from Curious City? Record a short voice memo and send it to curiouscity@wbez.org. Curious City is a production of WBEZ Chicago and is part of the NPR network. The show is produced by Jason Mark and Joe Dassault. Susie Ahn is our editor.
I'm Ari Mejia, Vocalo's audio and community storytelling producer.
And I'm Maggie Civet, Curious City's digital and engagement producer.
Thanks for listening.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Thanks for listening to the news live on WBEZ and NPR. The WBEZ stream sounds great in the kitchen on your smart speaker and anywhere on the WBEZ app. Listen every day.